It's a good day. Sunny. It's going to be sunny. I just want to just open in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're our God. Lord, you said you've even drawn us near by your word. Lord, you've called us, Lord, sons and daughters of God. Lord, so today as your sons and daughters, we've come to hear from you. Lord, not from a man, but Lord, from your word. Lord, to hear what you would say to your church, what you would say to us as people. Lord, let us be open in our hearts to receive what you say. Lord, let us have our ears wide open. Lord, let us lean forward into what you're saying today, Lord. And let us, Lord, learn and grow in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I think one of the things we have to realize as Christians is that God is calling us into a relationship with him, into intimacy with him, into a life with him. Just to say God's calling us into a relationship with him is kind of like, it sounds normal, but really when you really think about who God is and who we are, being called into a relationship with God is not normal. God created the heavens and the earth. He made everything in them, and he said, let there be, and there was. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be darkness, and there was. Let there be stars that hang in the sky. Let there be the sun and the moon. Let there be earth and dry land. Let there be animals. Let there be. And so, like, all these things were created and spoken out of the mouth of God. This God who has always been, who always will be. The Bible said that he holds the universe in the span of his hand. He's huge. And he's got so much going on, but he's invited you and me into a relationship with him. And this is what this series we're on is about. It's about God calling us into a relationship with him. It's about God calling us to become people of faith, people that trust him, that believe in him, that actually care about what he says and are willing and obedient to do what he says. The Bible really teaches us, if we can learn anything from God in the Bible, about God in the Bible, it's that his will toward us is good. His thoughts toward us are good. His plan for our life is good. He's not drawing us into something bad or evil. When he asks us to be obedient to him, it's for our good. It's not for evil. It's for good. It's really important for us to understand that, because sometimes, I remember when I was a kid thinking about some of the things my parents said do and don't do, and I thought they were crazy. You know, but now that I'm a parent and I say to my kids, do and don't do, I see that it's for their good. And there's a lot of times when we listen and think, well, God, you're crazy. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but in a lot of times in our actions, when God asks us to do something and we don't do it, in extension, we're saying, God, you're crazy. This is not right. This cannot work. This is not the right thing. But think of it later. Think of it in perspective as a parent to a child. We have to understand that God sees more than we see. So this series about Abraham is really about Abraham being a man who was living in a culture that was so evil and so anti-God, really. It was very pro-gods. It was very pro, like, this is the world. This is everything that you want is here. Like, I was thinking, about Abraham and the place he grew up. They worshipped so many different types of gods. They worshipped so many different gods because they wanted to follow and not to tick the gods off. So we're doing this dance trying to do all this. And all God said is, just love me, just obey me. So God called Abraham out of this godless culture, not godless small g, but godless big G, the true and living God. And he said, follow me. Go to this land that I will show you. He asked him to do something that was seemingly crazy. Seemingly, he was wealthy. He had a lot. It was hard to move the flocks he had to move. It was hard to find pasture for them. It was hard to find water as he was moving these flocks. It was hard for him to move these flocks. It did not make sense. But God called him to do it. And as we watch this journey of Abraham, my hope is that we will learn what it is to be intimate with God. Not to be perfect, not to get it all right, not to dot every I and cross every T perfect and then earn God's favor, because that's the culture he was calling him out of. He was calling him into a relationship with him, a trust in him, a reliance and obedience on him. He was calling Abraham to that. And we started looking at it last week, and one of the things that I'm just going to run through this really quick because it's Communion Sunday. I want to make sure we get out of here at a good time. God called Abraham out of a sinful way of life to serve him. We talked a little bit. I've already talked a bit about this. You can listen online. But the idea was, is there was so much pressure on Abraham to really conform. There was so much pressure on him to bow down and worship other gods. There was so much pressure on him not to believe in one God, but in many gods. There's a lot of people in this world today that can accept God, Jesus, as their Savior, as long as they don't have to give up their other gods. There's religions in the world that have many. Like if you're Hindu, there's thousands of gods they worship. I've been in India. I've seen what they do. And they're not particularly have trouble accepting Jesus as long as they don't have to give up every other god. Now, in our culture, we don't see it the same way. We have other gods that we serve and we worship that God's calling us away from. But we have to embrace the one true God, Jesus, Lamb of God, Savior of the world. And you know what? It was hard for Abraham. We're going to look at it again today, what Abraham's life was like and the struggle he went through. But it was hard for Abraham to do it, but it didn't stop God from calling him out. Why? Because he was calling him to something better. He was calling him into a relationship, into intimacy with him. Intimacy, knowing and understanding who God was and being able to trust and have faith in him. We're going to look at a lot of things. One of the things I thought, well, anyway, I'll leave that for another day. But this is what Jesus said to us, too, right? It wasn't just God calling Abraham. Jesus said this to us. Even though it's hard, even though there's cost involved, Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 37 to 39. If you love your father or mother or even your sons and daughters more than me, you are not fit to be my disciple. And unless you are willing to take up your cross and come with me, you are not fit to be my disciples. If you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will surely find it. If we'll give up our life for him, we'll find real life. If we will leave the things behind that he asked us to leave behind, if we'll love him more than we love anything else, he'll take us into this life with him. The second thing we talked about last week was God kept calling Abraham to go further, even when he stopped and rested along the way. Abraham stopped in a town called Haran, and he stayed there. He was partway. The Bible said for him to leave his father, his mother, his houses, his land. And we find him several years later, still in Mesopotamia where he started, and still with his father and his nephew Lot. He was not doing what God had called him to do, but God didn't stop calling. God kept calling. There's joy in that for you and me. There's reassurance and there's hope in that for you and me that even when we haven't done exactly what we are supposed to do, God's still going to keep calling. God still loves you. God still has a plan for you. God still wants you to go where he's asked you to go. God loves you. Often we get a running start, a good running start at what God's called us to do, but then we stop and we settle. And sometimes we settle and our life is unfulfilled and mediocre because we have settled. We haven't gone everywhere that God's asked us to go and done what God's asked us to do. So today, my point, one point today. Don't get too excited. It's a long point. Abraham said yes to God, but wanted to do it on his own terms. God said yes to God. Abraham said yes to God, but he wanted to do it on his own terms. Knowing what you know about yourself, doesn't it do your heart good to know and to see that these heroes of the Bible had the same tendencies, the same reluctance, and the same fears that you yourself know that you have? It helps me. I mean, I think it makes me have faith and hope that even though Abraham, who is called the father of faith, who the Bible said actually looked at his situation get worse for 25 years. He watched his situation get worse for 25 years, and he still believed that God would do what he said he would do. Started out like you and me start out. He started out faltering and stutter-stepping and reluctant. He didn't start out strong, but he did finish strong. And that's got to be our goal. We might not be starting strong. You might not have had a good start as a believer. You might be struggling today, but God has a good finish in mind for you if you'll just keep going for Him. I think about Thomas. Thomas is like often looked down at in the Bible, but Thomas is a bit my hero. Because I look at Thomas and Thomas said, well, I got to see it. I got to put my hands in the holes. I got to see Him with my own eyes. I got to know. I got to be honest with you. For a long part of my Christian walk, and even sometimes today, I'm a bit like Thomas. I see God. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to know. There's people here that could just grab everything by faith and not have to see, not have to know, not have to. But I'm so thankful that when I look at the life of Thomas, Jesus met him where he was. Jesus didn't say, Thomas, you're a loser, you're out, strike three, goodbye, gone, wipe your name out of the book, see you later. He didn't do that. He met Thomas exactly where he was. He said, Thomas, put your fingers in my hands. And he met Thomas where he was. Thomas died a martyr's death. He believed so much in what Jesus stood for and the message that God called him to carry into the world that he died in faith. But he started out saying, I don't know. I got to see it. I think we need to understand. Sometimes we read the Bible so fast. We go through the story so fast that we don't see the humanness in the people involved in the story. We don't see their struggle. We don't see their pain. So we just zoom past and we say, I could never be that person. Some of us could be Peter, right? Because Peter is a big mouth. I could be a little bit of a Peter. Shoot off your mouth fast. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then fall down and go, oops, pick myself up again, do it again. You know, so many of us can identify with certain people. And we need to. God put the people in the book so we could identify. So we could have heroes that we could relate to. But we need to sort of slow down and figure it out. I remember once someone said to me, if God called you to leave Dunville and go somewhere around the world and be a missionary, leave your family, leave everything behind, and go serve God on the mission field, would you go? And I know enough about God. I know enough about my life with God that I wasn't going to just give a quick answer to that. Because oftentimes when we say yes to a question maybe God hasn't even asked yet, He might ask it. So I really struggle with that. I was like, you know what? As much as a lot of people don't love Dunnyville, I love it. I love this place. I grew up here. I love its people. I love its quirks. I love the jokes we tell about it. I love it. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad God called me in Dunnyville and in this region. I'm glad for that. And I thought and I battled and I struggled in my mind and I finally had to come to the conclusion as if I really, when I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to Jesus, said, Jesus, You're my Lord. I surrender to You. That's what He called me to. If He said, go, I would go. And I'll tell you, but I realized that I would do it with reluctance. I would do it feeling uncomfortable. I would do it maybe even unwillingly. I would make Gideon look like an amateur fleece guy, you know, like, he said, make the ground wet, make the fleece dry, then did it the other. I would come up with new things like, you know, make it rain everywhere except where I'm standing, or make, you know, whatever. Because I want to know that it's really You, God, you know. So, but we need to know and we need to serve God. We realize and we have to realize this as believers. When we said yes to Jesus, it wasn't just an idea that we just said, oh, I want to join a religion. It wasn't just saying, I want to join a club. It wasn't just saying, I want to read the book of the month. It was saying, I want to follow You with my whole heart, with my whole life. I want to surrender all I am to You. I want to make You Lord. That's what we pray. Jesus, be the Lord of my life, the supreme ruler of my universe. And so that's what what God presented to Abraham all those years ago. Abraham, He said, will Will you make me your obsession? Will you follow me to the ends of the earth? Will you really trust me? Will you really go with me? Will you let your heart be settled in what I think is good for you? This is what God was really saying to Abraham. Will you follow? Will you make following me and doing my will your life's mission? Will you do that, Abraham? It's easy to give lip service to God and his will, but will you put action to your faith? Will you put a step? Will you make a step toward him? It's actually a little bit, here's what God proposed to Abraham while he lived in Ur. We read this last week. It was found in Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. I just want to really read the last sentence of this. You can read the whole thing while it's on the screen if you want. But the last sentence is, it says, Abraham, leave your country and your relatives and go to a land that I will show you. And then we skip over to Genesis chapter 11, verse 31 and 32. And we see that Abraham, this is what happened. This is what actually happened. Abraham, it says Terah. Terah was Abraham's father. As we told about last week, he was an idol worshiper and an idol seller. He had 12 different gods that he worshipped, and he worshipped one each month. And one of the gods actually taught them that they should sacrifice their firstborn son to demons. So Terah was not a godly man by any stretch of the imagination, but it says this. Terah took his son, Abraham, and his grandson Lot, who was the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, Abram's wife. And with him, he left the city of Ur in Babylonia to go to the land of Canaan. They went as far as Haran and settled there. Terah died there at age 205. So Haran took. We've always sort of looked at that Abraham, God called him, and Abraham said, sure, I'll go, let's go. But he didn't. It actually says from Ur, Terah, Abraham's father, took him. Daddy had to push him. Daddy had to take him the next step. Daddy had to do it for him. It's not like this great man of faith, he just said, yes, God, I'll trust you, I'll go, let's go. He didn't do that. He was reluctant. He waited. He didn't do what God had asked him to do. It's actually a bit sad. It's a bit funny, but it's a bit sad. Daddy, let's go. Let's go, Abraham, let's go. And maybe even Terah didn't even know, because he probably didn't, that he should go. But this is sort of what history, if you read a bit of the history around this time, this is what the archaeologist, believe, as quoted from the biblical world, an atlas, illustrated atlas. It was put out by National Geographic in 2007. It goes into a lot of detail about the times, and it says, as a result of these findings, archaeologists now surmise that those who wanted to escape the era's civil strife, that's in Ur, had only one direction to go for safety. That they was north. South of Mesopotamia was the sea known as the Persian Gulf. Nothing but open desert lay to the west. To the east, refugees from Ur would have encountered Elamites, another tribal group from Persia whose influx had hastened Ur's downfall. Thus, archaeologists and biblical historians conclude that it would have been logical for Terah and his family to head north toward Haran to save their lives and their livelihoods. Their migration was the first stage in the journey that led Terah's son Abram to become the patriarch Abraham, who God in Genesis terms as the father of a multitude of nations. So there's all this strife going on, and there was these tribes rising up, and they were going to come on over and conquer Ur because it's a big trading center. And so Terah decided that he should leave, and the only way to go was toward Haran. The only way for them to go, desert, sea, trouble, go north. How many times has that happened to us? God's called us and there's only one way to go. Desert, sea, trouble, go north. God, so many times we're like Abraham where God's calling us. And sometimes it seems like that it took a threat of war and some geographical formations and a strong father to get Abraham at the time to follow the command that God gave him. Not really Hall of Faith material. Right? Not really the guy with the bronze plaque that said, this is the man, the father of our faith. He was really a daddy's boy. Come on, Abraham, pack it up. Let's move it out. Isn't it amazing we can learn if you do a bit of studying? The same man who took his dad to and war and strife to get him to move. The Bible says this about him, that Abraham, right, his whole purpose, right, that God had called him to is go to this land that you don't know and I'm going to make you a father of many nations. At 75 years old, his father dies in Haran. At 75 years old, his wife is old. He's old. He's got a promise from God. Every day that goes by, the promise is dying. Every day that goes by, his wife's body is getting older. His body's getting older. They haven't been able to have kids. At 75, they were really finished. And 25 years later, the Bible says, Abraham did not consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Abraham or of Sarah's womb, but he faltered not at the promise of God. This same man who his daddy had to get him going became this great man who for 25 years saw everything get worse and believed God anyway. You have hope. We have hope. We can live for God. We can do something amazing for Him. It's powerful. Abraham, when I read this in my eyes, went from being this great man, a giant of faith, that was a one-off in God's kingdom. This is a one-of-a-kind, break the mold, nobody ever is going to be like him ever again. And all of a sudden, he's human. He has flaws. He has weaknesses. He's not Superman. He doesn't wear a cape. He doesn't live around phone booths so he can do his thing and ta-da, Superman. You know, he's human. And that gives me hope. It gives, should give you hope that we can make a difference in this life, that we can make a difference in this world. So here was Abraham, whom God called, sitting in Haran with his parents and the rest of his family, settled for into a life there. That was pretty ordinary, and only about two-thirds of the way to his final destination. 500 miles, they had about 300 miles left to go to get to Canaan. I wonder if Abraham would have stayed there. Would we even know his name today? If Abraham wouldn't have risen up, if Abraham wouldn't have obeyed the voice of God, would we know his name? God said to him, leave your country and your relatives and go to a land I will show you. And here he was, sitting in Mesopotamia still with his dad, still with his nephew, still doing the same old thing he was doing before, just moved a little bit toward it. Abraham wanted to obey God on his own terms. Abraham didn't want to obey God on the terms that he had laid out. He was willing to move in the right direction because it made sense, but not willing to let it become the obsession that drove his decisions. So what about you? Have you been called by God to do something that seems a bit off the hook for your present situation? I'm guessing yes. Maybe you aren't listening, maybe you haven't heard, but God is calling you. Have you moved toward God, but only the part that makes you comfortable? God called Abraham to get away from what was comfortable and to do something that was very uncomfortable for him, obviously. It was obvious that it was uncomfortable for him. He dragged for a long time waiting to see what God would do or what he wouldn't do. My guess is that he will do the same thing for you. He'll call you into a place of uncomfortableness, a place where you might not feel like you've got it all figured out. A place where you actually have to live by faith, because the Bible said that the just will live by faith, and that without faith, it's actually impossible to please God. God is calling. He's calling to you and I into a life of faith, to a place that he will show us, a place that's not familiar with, that we're not familiar with, a place that will test effectively whether or not we're willing to step into a life of intimacy with God and trust in him. He's calling. Will you follow? If you choose to accept the call, it will test you, but it'll be amazing. A couple of scriptures. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that God exists and that God cares enough to respond to those who seek him. It's impossible to live a life with God without faith. We have to live by faith. So God isn't going to call you into something that you could already do. God's going to call you somewhere where it's going to expand you and grow you and test you. A place where you're going to be uncomfortable and you're going to have to put your foot out there and take that kind of step of faith. In Galatians 3, verse 7 to 9, it says, Is it not obvious to you that persons who put their trust in Christ, not persons that put their trust in the law, are like Abraham and are children of faith? It was all laid out beforehand in Scripture that God would set things right with non-Jews by faith. Scripture anticipated this in the promise of Abraham. All nations will be blessed in you. So those who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. So if we're going to be blessed along with Abraham, if we're really going to be the people that God has called us to be, we have to step out in faith. I remember when my dad passed away and God called me to pastor Jubilee. I wasn't exactly for it, let's be honest. We had conversations about it, Dad and I, and even the board. And the Lord was speaking to me and preparing me for it for years before that. But I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable with the idea. Really uncomfortable. I was very comfortable with being a youth pastor. I was very comfortable with selling cars on Saturdays to fill in the income. I was very comfortable. And life was not necessarily easy at that time, but life was predictable. And predictable was good. How many of you like predictable life? It really isn't the life God's calling you to. Just Abraham was pressed and pushed by his father to start walking toward what God was calling him to. I guess in some odd way, I was pushed by my father, too, to step into what God was calling me to. And I have to say, it was not a place I really wanted to go. I was like Moses. I was looking around saying, who are you talking to? Don't you have someone better? Don't you have someone that can speak more? Like, what are you thinking, God? You're crazy. Like, honestly, I felt like, God, you must have someone better, someone that would actually embrace this. Until I really was ready to move on from my Haran, that place of settled, that place of reluctance, that place of disobedience, really, to God and his call. I never really embraced what God was calling me to do. And to be. And really, I was not experiencing the joy of the journey. I was actually wearing the trail out, dragging my heels. You know, I was like, oh, God, do I have to? I called Pastor Paul. Oh, I don't want to do it. I don't like it. Let me go. Anyway. So yesterday when I was leaving Haran. No, I'm joking. But really, I guess probably, it was probably a couple years ago, but maybe even last year, you know, where I came to a crisis where I had to say, God, I surrender my will to your will. I will do what you call me to do. I'll go where you call me to go. I will be obedient to whatever you ask me to do. That I really found joy in the journey. That I really found that God's call for me was good. That I could rest in it and that I could walk with boldness and confidence in it. I, like Abraham, stayed in a place of disobedience, maybe not in appearance, but in heart, for a long time. And God kept calling me and saying, Ralph, I got a place for you here. Keep moving on with me. Keep trusting me. Keep giving it to me. And I know this, that as I'm sitting here talking today, there's a lot of people in this room that God's calling. and you've sat in a place of maybe like passive aggressive, just like kind of like your heels dragging. You're kind of doing it, but you're not doing it. You're walking toward it like walking toward Haran, but you're not willing to go all the way to what God's called you to do. Today, God's calling you. And he's saying, come with me. Follow me to a place where I will show you. He didn't show Abraham. He didn't know where he was going. He's not going to necessarily show you exactly what the end result of what your obedience will be. But we need to trust him and have faith in him. I think we all need to stop doing things on our own terms and really surrender our whole lives to Jesus and his plan for our lives and in his kingdom. This is a quote from Anne Graham Lotz. It's Billy Graham's daughter from her book, The Magnificent Obsession. It says, as I have observed my own father, that would be Billy Graham, growing more and more frail, I've been forcibly struck by the biblical truth that all men are like grass. And all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And as gloriously significant as my mother's life was on this earth, like the grass, her beloved body withered away and died and was buried. And someday my father's body will complete the same earthly journey. Despite all the accolades and honors they collected during their lives, the only thing that matters at the moment of their death is what they did in obedience to God's word, according to his will, and carried out in his way. Everything else, without exception, will be no more. I don't think you could say it better than that. We are chasing all kinds of things, doing things our own way, trying to do God's will our way, trying to do our will God's way, trying to do all this stuff, but when it all comes down, when it all ends, when our bodies die, and when we have to stand before God, all that's going to matter is what we are obedient to. And with that in mind, I want to go into our communion time.